I'm Kevin Power, and this is Sascapes, the podcast featuring stories of arts, culture, and heritage in Saskatchewan. The program is called BEATS, Building Expression and Awareness Through Theater and Sound, an initiative which was developed by Alan Corbet in partnership with the Prairie North Health Region and the Living Sky School Division in North Battleford. BEATS offers at-risk kids a chance to find their artistic voice, and in doing so, teaches them the life skills that will give them a strong foundation to build on as they move forward in their future. The kids come from a place where they could have very easily fallen between the cracks and lose their way. But as you'll hear, by participating in the BEATS program, they learn to recognize, improvise, adapt, and thrive, which also happens to be the BEATS motto. I'm joined by Alan and Holly, who is one of the artistic instructors of the program. I'm also joined by two former participants, Sarita and Talia. It's not an exaggeration to say that I was blown away by just how articulate, funny, honest, and brave these two young girls were in our conversation. It renews one's faith that our future is in good hands, and the girls are a shining example of the massive success of the BEATS program. It's nice to be back in North Battleford again. I was here last season with Sharon Burns, who I just saw in a very cool video that I've just had a chance to watch on a program that I heard about at the beginning of this summer called BEATS, which stands for Building Expression and Awareness Through Theater and Sound. Right. And this baby basically is brought to us courtesy of the wonderful brain and imagination of my first guest sitting here on my left, Alan. Alan, do you go by the French pronunciation of your last name?
That's the proper way, but we kind of gave up on that a while back.
Do you seriously say Corbeil?
We say Corbeil.
Really?
But the proper way is actually Corbeil.
Yes, absolutely.
That's Corbeil.
Yeah.
Corbeil.
I shall refer to you as Alan Corbeil.
Perfect.
And if I want to be really technical, I'll refer to you as Alain Corbeil.
Alain Corbeil. You can call me Al.
So, essentially, this program was birthed by you, yes?
Yeah, this is a program that I kind of dreamt up, I suppose. It kind of started just from years of counseling kids and finding out that a lot of kids were wanting to put a lot of their stories into lyrics and songs and whatnot. So they used to say they used to write their own beats. And so it kind of came with that. And I just wanted to start off with helping kids to record music. And so that was the original idea, is just a recording studio based out of the school where I could sit down one-on-one with kids and just help them put their stories into lyrics. And the more I thought about that, the more I realized, you know, that it's way bigger than that. There's so many more outlets that, you know, not everyone is musical. And certainly with the kids that we're working with from age range about 10 up to 15, you know, there's not necessarily musical interest there, but maybe artistic and maybe a lot of different languages. So my employer is Prairie North Health Region, so I work for mental health in the child and youth department, and basically my boss loved the idea. So he gave me the go-ahead to explore that, and I had it on the table for a while and just kind of kept it on the back burner, I guess, in my mind. And eventually I kind of shared the idea with the principal of this school, David Allen, and he loved the idea and said that he would put some funding behind it. And so he said, whatever you need to get set up, I'll be behind you on that. So from there, I had the license then to kind of explore it further. So I kind of broadened it out, and just through a lot of research and a lot of more talking with people, just realized that we needed to kind of look at more creative outlets than just music. But I wanted to keep that as part of the big thing. So the original, it actually evolved and became this. We wanted to have art, we wanted to have dance, we wanted to have fine art. So that's, you know, creating actual pieces of art, which is where we brought in Holly, our expert. And of course, I'm a clinical social worker. I'm not actually an artist, although my mother was an artist. So,
and you don't have a musical background?
I do have some music background, yes. I was in singing lessons for most of my life, and right up to age 16 until I saw my picture in the paper.
You play a wicked set of spoons. I saw you play that in the video.
I had that background thanks to my mom, but it's always been an interest. But so I also know that it's, you know, a very therapeutic thing to do on your own for self-expression and just kind of release some tension from the day. So it's well known that arts are very effective with anyone for therapeutic reasons. And so it's one of the languages that human beings have, and we needed to kind of bring this out for the kids that we're working with, mostly because, you know, there's a lot of hard times happening out there for a lot of families. And I know that, it's difficult to express that. And often too many people don't have the ability or the opportunity to explore other ways of getting that out. And so we just bottle it up until it either comes out in a destructive way in our own bodies or in a destructive way in our relationships and, you know, even the physical environment around us. So we wanted to go away from destructive expression or releases of this emotional energy and get back into more creative and constructive experiences. So this program allowed us to do that. It had so much variety built into it on purpose so that it would capture more kids. And we brought in guest experts because the school division got behind it with money that allowed us to contract artists to come in and help out with the program. So I put together a curriculum with a theme, and then found artists that really just immediately attached onto the concept because they knew immediately that this was something they could identify with, and they also knew that there was therapeutic power with that. So we think it's been successful. Our first pilot project was in 2014, and this is now the second year we've done it. So,
right. And Holly, you came on board when?
I'm not sure exactly how. I think it was fairly close to the beginning when Alan started to talk to perhaps at the school district about it, and
right.
And they suggested me, I guess, because I like community-based arts activities, and I'm really am into the whole therapeutic mm-hmm. Communication aspect of art. I think that, so I started pretty much at the beginning when they were talking about it, and helped to, you know, discuss how we could work in different aspects along the way.
All right. You're an artist here in North Battleford.
I am.
What's your medium that you primarily work in?
I am a mixed media artist, but I've pretty much focused previously on textiles, but I like to use all sorts of things, but I'm very much behind using what's available as, improvising with materials that are available and making it accessible for people to use and create all the time, not thinking that they have to have big, expensive, particular things. It's using what you have to be creative.
Right.
So that's probably part of what helped in this process
sure.
as well.
Were you born here in North Battleford or in Saskatchewan?
In Saskatchewan. I was born in Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Where?
I was born in Saskatoon. I grew up most in Victoria, BC, and then moved back here when I was a teenager.
Right. Alan, are you from Saskatchewan originally?
Yeah, this North Battleford is my hometown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, born and raised. Yeah.
Haven't strayed that far from it.
Nope.
So last year was the launch of the BEATS program. This 2014 would have been the first one, yeah? And I'm lucky enough to have two people who were involved both last year and this year, so they're pros. Across from me sits Sarita and Talia. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
So I feel very lucky because I had the chance to sit and watch a couple of videos on the program. So now I get a sense of what you guys have gone through. But tell me a little bit about your story. Are you originally both from North Battleford?
I was born in Saskatoon. I grew up here in North Battleford. The first Beats premiere, I had moved to PA, so I wasn't really here for it. But, this is where I am. This is where I live.
This is Sarita talking, by the way, yes?
Yes.
Just because you both sound so similar. And then Talia, originally from the area?
Yes, I was born in the hospital here, and I was born... Born and raised here.
Yeah.
Up until now.
Right. So how did you both find out about this program? What's it like when someone hears about it, and what's the journey to becoming part of it?
Hey, it's Kevin. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Just a quick reminder that the SaskApes podcast is available for free on your favorite podcast app, or you can stream it from your browser. Check out the show notes for the link. On the SaskApes homepage, you'll notice something new under the logo called SaskApes Plus. You can't miss it. There's a big button saying support with a heart icon next to it. I'd love it if you could click on that button and help keep this podcast series going. When SaskApes launched in May 2014, it was the first podcast in the province celebrating arts, culture, and heritage. In fact, you'd have been pretty hard-pressed to find any Saskatchewan podcasts. So I'd like to think that we paved the way. It's been because of your support that this podcast is now in its 9th year. Okay, that's it. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
Well, actually, what happened was we started school here, and Al came to us with this, actually. It was a program for everyone, and then it just kind of started from there. You actually...
It escalated quickly.
It did escalate quickly.
It escalated quickly.
Yes, it does teach you a lot of things. Because, see, when I got here, I was very fiery. I didn't like when people said stuff to me, or I didn't like when I was bugged a lot. And the Beats program taught me to calm down at times, and you know, to just really adapt to me and not to people around me.
Mm-hmm. So had you already been? You were going to school here.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us the name of the school we're sitting in.
Phoenix. Well, right. It's Manaswan now.
So okay. Right.
When we first came here, it was named Phoenix.
Yeah.
But
and there had been nothing like this at the school before?
Nothing like it.
Right. So
not that I've seen.
Did you enjoy your time at the school here before this program, or did this make a huge shift in how you saw your time here at school?
Actually, when I first got here, it was already in the progress. So
it was?
Yeah. So I saw it, and then I thought it was always here. But
did you have to sign up, or did you have to enroll? No, it just got welcomed to come.
Yeah,
you had a choice if you wanted to participate or not.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
So how come you guys chose to do it?
I liked the first part. The first one, we made a music video, and I liked being able to learn how to rap and stuff, and I liked listening to JT Savage and him and his lyrics. It was fun. Yeah.
But so walk me through a typical day. You were here for how long every day and participating in the Beats program?
I'm not sure. From the afternoon till school ended, right?
Was it Mondays and Thursdays?
Yeah. Twice a week.
Twice a week.
Okay. We probably do it every, twice a week we do it. Right after lunch, we just come meet up in here, and we basically just start our session.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so there are many components to the program, right? You weren't just doing music.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about what else you were doing.
When the second Beats program started, I was in a hip-hop class, and that was really fun too, because when I would come to school, Beats was on and I got to show everybody like my new dances and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun.
What about actual painting or crafting, mask making? You were doing all that?
Yeah. How was that? I actually didn't make a mask.
Okay.
Yeah,
I made a mask.
But you were all in an art room at one point making something. Yeah. Who made the collage? One of you made a...
I did.
That was your collage?
Kendra.
Yeah. Right. Okay, so what was that day like? Why were you doing these projects to learn how to work by yourselves or to learn how to work together?
No, actually, I was talking to Miss Eagle that day. I wasn't having a good day that day. And Miss Eagle said, well, we're doing Beats after lunch, and she's like, maybe you can just work on the rest of your collage. And that collage took me the whole Beats to finish. And
it's like a day-by-day project.
Yeah, it was a really fun time.
It's beautiful. I actually, when I was looking at it, I thought it would make a great magazine cover.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, this is nice. Because it was really nice, actually. I was surprised that it came out that nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can you remember that day when you're having a really lousy day? Yeah. How was it by the end of the day?
It was really cool. Like, I love looking at it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's like this. It just turned my whole day around because it was so bright. And like, I just got to see my favorite artist on the thing. And like, I can't believe I made that.
Right. Yeah. Talia, what were you working on? Well, you were really busy with a major project, which was the film.
In between, I'd work on posters and... Before we started the filming, I was helping out with making masks, and we paint a lot. And
okay. You helped with some of the set, didn't you?
Yeah, the set.
Did you have any kind of artistic outlet before the Beats program? Were you involved in anything musical or any arts programs? Were you creative? Did you make stuff growing up?
Yeah, I was in hip-hop before
the Okay. Beat,
so, yeah. But other than that, no, I wasn't really artistic before the Beats program. I didn't know I was artistic, honestly.
Huh.
I didn't. And then the Beats program kind of showed me. I was like, oh, okay, I guess I know how to paint.
Right. So, yeah. What about you, Sarita? Were you, Talia, were you involved in anything artistically prior to this program?
Before I came to Phoenix School, at my old school, they were just teaching us how to play guitar, and I actually got pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got here, I kind of just realized, like, oh, I could draw. Like, I can actually draw.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
She can
And,
draw.
Like, further on into the Beats program, I finally realized, like, I actually have a talent, and that I never realized I had before. And it was kind of cool to realize that, because we're not just some kids just... here for nothing.
Yeah.
That's so great to find out that you have this talent that you had no idea about. You must have a tremendous sense of pride knowing that you've tapped into something that you didn't know existed. That must feel really great. Yeah, you do. I mean, I'm looking at you both smile, and I can tell that you really do.
She was actually a key singer in our first year's music video.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, she was.
She was the...
I like to rap,
uh-huh.
But I don't really tell people that.
You just did.
I think if me and her work together, like if we actually put our minds together and set our minds to what we wanted to do, we could make a pretty good song.
Yeah, I tell Talia a lot of things. Like even though we don't go to school together anymore, the Beats program made us very close.
Mm-hmm.
And like this,
like that.
Like yeah, were you that close before this program?
No,
but you knew each other.
Yeah, we knew each other, but we weren't like as close as we are now.
Did that happen in the Beats program for the other participants? How many were there this year? How many did you have?
There was
quite a bit.
Probably like the same amount as last year.
So but we're talking
in the 20s.
In the 20s?
Mostly because this was meant to be for the whole school. These are small schools. But we also invited Battle for Central School, which has a structured success classroom. So it's...
Went to there.
Yeah. So it's a classroom.
You went there?
Yeah.
Classroom with kids experiencing challenges with behaviors and just, making it work at school. And so we invited them over as well. So they took part with us. And so there's actually three schools involved here, Phoenix School, Manaswan School, and Balfour Central School. And we wanted the staff to be involved too, because it's very stressful working in these school settings. And we needed something that would lift everyone's spirits and help everybody be on the same page. And the staff had to get in there and be on equal footing with the students. So that was a key thing for us. And I think it did lift the spirits in the whole school. I think everybody was looking forward to beats in the afternoons.
But you guys seem really outgoing, just even meeting you today. Were you always like that?
Actually, when I first got to the school back in 2014, I was a very shy person. I didn't really like to talk, and I don't know.
I can't imagine that.
I couldn't either until now.
I wouldn't say I was shy, but I say I was pretty bitter towards people.
Really?
Yeah, I was kind too. Of mean. I was really mean. And the Beats program kind of showed me, like, all this kind of different stuff. And coming out of it, I was a whole different person. It's like, wow.
I'm really impressed that you guys are able to articulate that you're able to actually be that self-aware to know that you sort of had that journey from being mean to being this confident. Is that part of the Beats program? Do you have that component? Yes, we're looking around here. So we have big banners that say recognize, improvise, adapt, and thrive. So tell me about the thriving aspect.
Actually, recently I think about the Beats program, and it teaches so much things. Like, honestly, I think that there should be a program like this at every school. Because I did, like, when I found that out, I did recognize, and I improvised, and I adapted. You know, keep doing what I do.
Can I, sorry, just because I'm getting kind of misty-eyed here, because I have to tell you something. Meeting you guys here and seeing how articulate you are and how together you seem and how confident you seem, it's hard for me to imagine that you were anything else but this coming into this program, but you're telling me that you were.
I think before the Beats program, we didn't really... how do I word this? Before the Beats program, we never really thought of ourselves as... like, this could happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We never really thought we could pull something off like this. And... here we are, sitting here with you.
Like, right. Honestly, yeah. After the Beats premiere and everything, I thought the Beats, like, it's like, oh, Beats is over. Like, it kind of hurt me. Like, I didn't think anybody actually heard about it, but there were so many people at the premiere. I couldn't believe how many people were there. And, like, just this, like, you wanting to interview us, that's so crazy. Like,
tell me about the premiere. That was a huge deal. Tell me what you did that day.
Talia, you look so pretty.
I know. I'm looking at a picture of you here. You're beautiful. You've got a flower in your hair.
This is 2014, actually.
Yeah, this is
that the was 2000. Ever. This was 2014?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, but you did the same thing in 2014 as you did in 2015.
It's right here.
So tell me what you did that day.
Talia, where are you?
How did you arrive
She's
this
right
year?
There
you
arrived.
Are.
And
well,
like,
red's your color.
Before we actually came to the premiere, we were at our school.
Okay.
And we were just waiting to get picked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we get picked up in a limo.
You didn't know you were getting picked up in a limo?
Mm-hmm.
Was your first time in a limo?
This year was my second time.
Right, because you did it last year as well.
Yeah.
So you get picked up in a limo, and you all can't fit in a limo, right? So did you have more than one, or how did y'all get there?
Actually, this year was really different. Hey, we got
some teachers drove us to the back of, like, to the premiere.
Okay.
To, like, the back of the library. And then the limo dropped them off, and then they'd go pick us up when we go for a cruise, a little cruise around the, mm-hmm. Around the city, and then they drop us off. And it's kind of just... got to ride around in the limo.
And then what are you walking on as you enter this program that I'm looking at in this picture?
Okay, so we got to walk on a red carpet.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of does make you feel special, but it also, like, you get really nervous. Like, it's really nerve-wracking. Like, it was so nerve-wracking for me because when you first meet me, I'm not really social, and the way I dressed, I was like, I dressed so weird that day. I thought I dressed nice, but like, I mean, I dressed
cool. Beautiful.
I dressed a little out of my comfort zone, and I didn't know how many people were going to be there, so I kind of ran across the red carpet. But
did everybody else feel this way going? What, tell me about some of the, you don't have to use their names, but some of the other people that were involved, some of the other kids that were involved, were they nervous like you? Were they confident?
I know a lot of the boys, especially the younger ones, they were excited to get into the limo.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got into the red carpet, they kind of just like closed up and got all shy. And it's like, just chill. Like, yeah. This is our day.
There was a cool moment this year when that one boy had someone join him on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Oh, his, is that his niece or his sister?
His niece. Are we allowed to say their names? No?
You can say their first names if you want.
Layton. He's one of the young. He was the youngest one in our program, right? Yeah,
so.
Layton. He came out of the red carpet, and his little niece came onto the red carpet with him. So instead of kicking her off, he grabbed her hand, and they walked down the red carpet together, which I thought was pretty cute.
Wow.
Yeah.
When the program started, was everybody receptive to it, or were there people that just didn't want to play?
There was a lot of people like that, especially in the first year.
You know, were honestly, you guys like that?
Honestly, when I first got it, when I was first introduced to the Beats program, I thought of it as a way to get out of schoolwork. But once I got more in, like, into like actual like getting into the work, I actually realized like this is actually a cool program, and I'd like to do more of this. And I hope someday that I'll continue on with this with other students and let them
continue on as in teach them?
Yeah. Let them experience what we had.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because like not everybody gets to feel that special.
Yeah.
That day, honestly, of the premiere, I felt pretty important because, you know, like us from like where we come from, we don't really see that type of stuff every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
well,
you know,
not many people do. Not many people arrive on a red carpet as they start their day.
We actually got to get ready at the school here. Mm-hmm. The girls locked the door, everything.
Right.
And they just felt like...
We wore high heels.
I never wear that.
Yeah.
The mayor was there. The
mayor came?
My dad.
The deputy fire chief. There was all sorts of important city people.
My dad actually, when he saw me, he said... You look so beautiful.
Oh, that's so great. And when you were actually doing the program, going through all these art classes and music classes and creating all these wonderful projects, were there kids that just didn't want to do it?
Yeah,
a lot.
I mean, that were not willing to open up? Because it takes a lot of courage, right, to kind of open up and be honest and be real. So how did they break out of that shell? What did you observe? How did they do that?
You know, I think each session we had, they kind of just opened up more.
Yeah, like gradually.
Like just step by step. It took them a while, but eventually, towards the end of the Beats program, they were more open about it and they were willing to participate in what we were doing.
Did you have rules? I mean, were there ground rules like no laughing at people, no making fun of people, those sorts of things?
No.
Really,
but I mean, I think people were scared of that. I mean, we weren't really scared of that because, like, we knew that people weren't going to laugh at us.
Mm-hmm.
But I think other people were scared of that. I think Dante was, but I mean, he came through at the end. He decided to, he wanted to participate and stuff.
It's my ex-abusive husband.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, your abusive husband in the shadow play that you put on.
Yeah.
Not in real life.
No.
We don't want to start any scandals.
Yeah.
Holly, not meaning to shut you out of this.
No.
How much do you attribute the art form, no matter what the medium, is to turning these kids into the brilliant people that they are becoming?
Well, I think, you know, you touched on it earlier when you talked about how, you know, the art is just another form of communication. Mm-hmm. And I think often people forget that. And I think it's sort of one of our basic human rights is to sort of self-express.
Yeah.
And through the arts, it's sometimes a lot easier because no matter what art form you're using, there's parts that you do together and there's parts that you do alone. And as you're doing those sort of more contemplative things, it's a good opportunity to sort of sort out your thoughts around the particular issues. And sometimes it's not even directly related to what it is that you're doing, but you're processing all of those things. And right. I think that really does help you. I think that's, you know, not the formal therapy part necessarily, but it's the part that really helps you feel satisfied with mm-hmm. what you're doing, because despite the physical product that you might make, the process itself is what's helped and what makes you feel so good.
Yeah. Do you have challenges in doing this kind of work as far as the kids that don't want to open up? I mean, to be creative involves a certain amount of vulnerability, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah.
So how do you get kids out of their shell?
Well, I think that was part of when we first began this the very first year, one of my suggestions, just because I also work with adults a lot, and people are really afraid to do things. You're absolutely right, because it seems like everybody at some point is told they're not an artist or they're not creative, and it's amazing the amount of people when you say, okay, we're going to do something fun and creative, and everybody puts up their hands and says, oh, no, yeah. I'm not creative.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? You got dressed today. You look fabulous. Yeah. You probably put food on your plate in a certain way. I mean, you've done all these creative things, and somehow somebody's telling you you're not creative, and that kind of makes me a little nuts, I think. Mm-hmm. So I like that we kind of try to help them recognize that every aspect of their life they can put some creative influence on. So one of the things that I think is important is sometimes just having an opportunity to play with materials that are not expensive and that are readily available, and just to create things and play with them, because I think play is also a big missing part in our lives. We have so much that's directed all the time that we forget free play sort of helps to create some more creative momentum. So,
yeah, I think the world would be a much more enjoyable place if people had a chance to an hour every day just to go into a Beats program at work.
Absolutely.
And just go let their hair down and get silly, because we lose that. The older we get, I'm always talking to people that say that they used to, or they had a dream.
Absolutely.
But somebody told them it was stupid, and now they're too old to do it, right? And then it might be stupid. You guys are really lucky that way, in that you sort of already dug in and tapped into your creativity, and just even knowing that stuff you might not even know exists in your personality is just waiting to be let free. It's just going to change your life forever, I think. I mean, don't you think it would be terrible to go through life not having any kind of creative outlet? Like, what would your life, I mean, it's hard to imagine, but imagine what your life would have been like had you not discovered the talents that you've discovered here in the Beats program. What would it have felt? Do you think it would be different?
I think without the Beats program, we definitely wouldn't be sitting here today.
Yeah.
Right.
I think, honestly, the Beats program helped us realize a lot of things.
Like, yeah.
It taught us a lot of life skills that will be useful, like, later on in life, but it also taught us, like, I don't know.
Well, you had to work together a lot during this program, right? So that's not easy for the best of people.
Especially us.
Yeah?
I mean,
especially you.
We both came from, like, behavior school. Like, all of us came from behavior schools, and we basically all had to work together. And a bunch of kids from behavior school is not a very good combination, but we pulled it off.
Yeah.
We made something out of it.
Just in general terms, behavior school, how would you describe that?
Well, I think the kids here, they're just lost.
Honestly, I don't think they have behavioral problems.
Okay.
I just think, honestly,
is that a tough label to slap on somebody?
They're lost.
Yeah. I don't think it's a behavioral problem. Mm. I think it's they're just trying to find someone. Trying to find something, you know, like, I don't know how to
explain. Yeah. Trying to, like, basically, like, trying to find something that will work for them.
Yeah.
But looking in the wrong place.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's a good way to describe it.
I mean, nobody like I didn't want to end up here, but I mean I did, and I'm so happy I did because it changed me so much. I'm not so mean. I'm not bitter. And like last year, I lost a friend, and the Beats program taught me that a lot of things happen for a reason. So I mean, when I think of him, I'm not so bitter anymore. I'm actually very happy. No, like, because the Beast Program does teach you how to, like, self-awareness. Like, it does teach you that. It does teach you, like, different things. It teaches you, like, how to control your sadness, to, like, just think positive.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, someone actually, like, you're actually special. You are. And that's what the Beast Program kind of taught us.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Beast Program basically just taught us to follow our dreams because, I mean, most of us, before we've gone to this Beats program, we're having a lot of issues, and we didn't really know how to deal with all those emotions, especially coming to school every day with, like, a bunch of kids with problems.
Yeah.
And, like,
you have your own problems, and then
yeah,
it's basically just coming to school with a bunch of problems to deal with more problems.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Sounds like a great recipe for getting out of bed every morning and going, yay, I can't wait for the day to start. This
but honestly, I think the only reason why I always came to school, because I like coming to the Beats program. Coming to the Beats program kind of just made me feel like you don't have to worry about the outside world for a while.
I hope you're enjoying this episode. Just a reminder that there are several ways that you can listen to all of the SaaScapes episodes. The easiest way is with the SaaScapes app that you can download for free from the App Store or Google Play, depending on your device. You'll even get notifications when a new episode is available. Other ways to hear the podcasts are downloading them from the iTunes Store, Stitcher Radio, or through the TuneIn Radio app. Again, all for free. You can stream the SaaScapes podcasts individually at www.iheartculture.ca. Thanks to all of you who have been writing your comments and reviews. It's always great to hear from you. And now, back to the podcast.
But not everybody chose to be part of it, right?
Yeah.
No. I mean, yeah.
Did they? So what was that kind of weird when there were some kids that weren't participating in the Beats program?
Yeah.
You have so many different personalities you're dealing with. You got so many different interest areas, and that's why we try to make this so broad. What we want to also teach with this whole program is not just the personal therapeutic piece, you know, self-awareness and expression, but also provide some real technical skills and possible trades and jobs out there. So we actually take those kids that don't want to, one of the questions we ask in the icebreaking part of the program is, would you rather be in front of the camera or behind the camera? And those kids that say behind, well, automatically you can kind of, you know, get some ideas of where we might go with them. So for some kids, that's doing the camera work or building the sets.
Romello. Yeah.
Wanted to do the tour of the sets, and that was mechanical and something that he could really wrap his head around. And finally got the courage to get in front of the camera with me, as long as it was around that area, right? So some kids, they were more into the media editing, so getting on the computer, and I would show them how to, you know, splice things together and do some of that. So, I mean, these are all skills that could be applied to other future careers. So isn't that what education is supposed to be for?
Right.
You know, so I think we've kind of covered the bases here and allowed so much flexibility to this program that Beats is a principle. And not necessarily a structured program that has to follow a certain recipe, you know. But it's that, I think, that captures those kids that, you know, really don't connect with maybe dance or art, but could see maybe getting that photography thing going on, you know, as Keandra did.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the two of you said you'd rather be in front of the camera when you were asked that question.
Actually, Al has this video and...
No, you didn't?
No.
Talia, you're telling me you didn't want to be in front of the camera?
No, when our first year, when they first introduced us to the Beats program, I was actually really shy. And I didn't want to do it at first. But then once we got more into it, then I started realizing, like, oh, like, this could become something important someday. And, like...
You're the star of the movie.
Like, here we are sitting here now. Like, discussing this. And I feel like without the Beats program, we probably wouldn't be where we are today. And we probably wouldn't be the people we are today.
Alan, you must lay your head down on the pillow every night feeling pretty darn happy about seeing the difference this program has made.
I thought you were going to say exhausted.
No, well, I'm sure exhausted. That's a given. But I'm just thinking the transformation you see in these kids must just be overwhelming.
You know, this is really special for me because I don't get to hear this usually.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
And man, I just want to, you know, haul these two around with me everywhere.
No kidding. You're the poster.
They make me feel better.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you don't get to see a lot because it'd be basically this program runs from February until June, and it is just an insane pace. We are packing this all in. We're going through several weeks or 6 weeks of basically instructional sessions, learning the life skills, learning the different outlets of creative expression, all building into that theme. Beats and then art beats, which is what Holly did on our other day, and then you get into the second half of the project, and that's where the hard work comes in, because now we're getting into phase two, which is building the project that we're going to be making. So last year it was a music video, the following year it was an actual movie where we had to create a story together with a lot of kids that didn't, and staff that didn't have the patience to really kind of do creative things like that together as a team. And it was crazy to go through all the little nuances of relationship building and social skills required to get a group of people to work together. That's hard with adults.
Yeah, no kidding.
So you know
what? I was the one who came up with the idea of the butterfly.
Yes. So I'm very lucky because I got to see this movie, which was a shadow play movie, yeah?
Yeah.
So give me a synopsis of the storyline for the listeners.
Well, pretty much the butterfly is about change. Because, you know, like the butterfly starts off as a caterpillar, then gradually it's a butterfly. And then, so all these kids or moms, like they all come from these sad backgrounds or bullying, and the butterfly teaches them change, and that you can come from something good, like you can be beautiful out of something bad or something like that.
Yes.
And the Northern Lights, like Donovan was talking about, because in our culture the Northern Lights are spirits.
Mm-hmm. Your culture being First Nations.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
And it's their spirits up in the sky, and they're our ancestors, and you're not to get them mad or anything like that, because they can become very dangerous and are very dark, stuff like that. And towards the end, the bad butterfly takes those people to the Northern Lights. So that's me. Yes.
The people that went to the Northern Lights were the troubled people?
Yes, the ones that...
The people who didn't see the point in change.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about choices, yeah? The choice to be... To do something that your elders would be proud of, or not.
I think the moral of the story was basically, like, you have a choice of, like, which path to go down to. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not forced to go down a path. Yeah. Like, sure, your parents may be alcoholics or drug addicts or they're abusive, but that doesn't mean you have to be how your parents were to you,
that's
if that makes sense.
That's just like residential schools. I mean, like, the residential families, like, they're all going through something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there's somebody in those families that are going to break that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to totally change what their family's going to live by, you know?
I feel like the Beats program just basically changed our whole world. Because, I mean, before we came to school here, I never really saw myself doing this or...
It changed our outlook.
Yeah, well, the Beats program, that movie is kind of a metaphor for what the Beats program does, right? It gives you, it shows you that you've got a choice. And it shows you a different way of living. So, I mean, that's sort of what I got from the movie, was it was sort of a dramatic representation of what this program really is, in a way. And you all work together on the script?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the story, there was how many different people working on that story?
There was probably me. No, it was me, you, Guy, JT Savage.
Oh, yeah.
It all looked so easy in the final product. It looks so, but that was, but you're telling me that it
was hard.
It was hard to put
together.
It was
just like step by step. Like, mm-hmm. our first Beats program that you like see like these, mm-hmm. whatever. Kind of just basically it was just a starting point of yeah. it. Basically just taught us the skills, and then later on we basically just got more into it, and you know, like, I don't know.
Tell me what Holly has meant to you guys in this program.
Holly's bae.
Holly, honestly, if it wasn't for Holly, I don't think I would have known I was artistic. That's
me either.
Really? Yeah. How did she draw that out of you?
She just got us
to... right here.
Yes.
Me and Talia got to pick, like, we got to make a banner one time, and I didn't even know that I could do that. That's like, oh my gosh, I love this banner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but Holly really sort of tapped into your creativity. She sort of showed
you. Yeah, just like.
She showed
like set off something in our mind. It's just like, mm-hmm. you know, you can do this. Like, you don't, like, you just gotta stop being so self-conscious and mm-hmm. just work towards what you want to go.
Honestly.
That makes sense.
Holly, the way I say it, like, it just starts off with, like, just a little slap of paint. And then then you can just
like, so you
keep
know,
going.
Whole,
and you know, just, yeah, a whole portrait.
That's gotta feel good, pretty good hearing.
I don't know. Everybody did such different things. As Alan said, it's kind of interesting to hear their take on it because we, in the last 2 years of both these projects, we covered a lot of different things. And you just never know what's going to be something that's going to be the trigger for any one person. Lots of different kids. And one thing that I think is kind of interesting is... we forget about the age range of the people involved with the program. Because,
yeah, what is that age range?
Yeah, because I think there was some of the younger ones were maybe 11. Would that be about
even
the
younger?
Age?
I think down to about nine.
Oh wow! So nine to sort of 15.
16.
Yeah. Nine up to 16. Like 16. Well, yeah. Even some of the Manaswan boys are older, so
yeah.
That's a good, it's a good spread of kids, really basically children, adolescents. So.
My mom was 17.
So trying to find activities that are interesting and applicable to do together with that age
right.
range in a small space, you know, with sometimes, you know, I think it's some days we had up to 24 kids here, and
maybe I'm
like
five.
Yeah, so you never really knew. So you know, there was a lot of activity at different levels, and I think that even though it was a challenge, I think that also was very helpful because there were so many different levels of skill. So someone would see something, and it would then trigger a new idea for them, and they would realize, and they'd think, well, you know, wow, I never thought about doing something that way. I could incorporate that into my piece or whatever they were doing. And I think that helped. So it is really good to hear that they found something wonderful. One thing that I remember distinctly, Alan, from one of the first things we did at the beginning of the first Beats program, and I don't know if you girls will remember this or not, but I was thinking about materials to do and some kind of big, more physical way to do some visual art. So I had all these big recycled circles of cardboard that I had got from the dumpster at the newspaper place. And I just brought a bunch of paint and a bunch of these things. And I thought we would start doing these big circles so that they could represent all sorts of things, but they would just be a space to play with color and ideas and to get them sort of moving in a bigger way. And I remember one of the fellas took his out in the hall and started painting. And they all really got into it. I was so surprised, and it was a wonderful way to start. But at the end of the session, I guess we did it for a couple of hours, and they, you know, they, so this was a big surface. And I remember one of the teachers going by and asking this particular guy, you know, oh, what is it that you're doing here? And he said, well, you know, this part here, these colors, this represents my past. And this part right here, this is where I am right now. But this over here, this is where I'm going. And it was an abstract thing, but he had, during the process of putting all that stuff down, that's what he saw there. And I thought, like, to me, that was pretty much it. You know, I thought that was really cool. So I'm glad to hear that you two also kind of felt like you had done some kind of movement along that too. And sometimes you don't even realize as you're doing it, that's what's happening is afterwards that you're, as you, you know, put all those processes into play. So I think that's kind of cool.
I want to brag about Holly because, I mean, I tell people all the time, I said, there's a glue that holds this all together. This whole vision is essentially held together by someone with artistic ability to take anything and make it into anything. And I think that's what these two girls, you know, in telling them, you know, about coming here today, they shared with me that, you know, they really truly believe that Holly can pretty much do anything she ever set her mind to because she's so flexible and able to pull things from the trash and make it happen.
Right.
And I think that's a good metaphor. Holly is our metaphor for this program. I mean, you know, Sarita mentioned how, you know, a behavior school isn't exactly where she wanted to end up. And I think a lot of kids feel like they kind of got thrown in the trash a bit, you know?
Yeah.
If anything, we're getting from Holly resilience. We're learning how to take things, and even though it may not be what you think, maybe it's not the shiniest, maybe it's not the most successful, maybe it's not whatever, but she can turn that into this beautiful, beautiful thing. And now we're hearing for these girls, which is really awesome to me, that they feel special, and that's exactly, I think, you know, the magic that we wanted to achieve. So Holly makes that possible by teaching recycling and...
Right.
Nothing is useless. Even the little shreds of paper that are left over from our crafts and projects she does, she said, whoa, hold on to that. We can do this. And she's going through dumpsters and finding cardboard to bring to this program. And we all learn a lesson from that. The work that goes into a program is one thing, but for a program to be successful, I'm really learning that it's the key, having the right people, the right people on the team. At the top end of the things, when we were first talking about this program with Sharon Burns, who is our art consultant for Living Sky School Division, she has such a network of artists and knowledge of people around here and there. She found Holly for us. Mm-hmm. And so I'm forever in Sharon's debt because of, you know, Holly. Holly is absolutely who I rely on. And she comes in with such a great atmosphere about her. You know, we're all stressed because it's chaos most days. And we're all working hard to try to stay on task. But Holly comes in as a cheerleader, just boosting everybody's spirit. So she is just amazing. So I wouldn't be able to do this without Holly.
Okay. All right, you guys, true confession time. Tell me what Alan has meant to you as part of this program. Yes?
I haven't waited to say this.
Okay.
Forever.
Go for it.
But, like Alan said, you know how, like, some of us feel like we've been thrown in the trash bin. But I feel like they just, like, pick this way back out, and then they just kind of just dusted us off and just slapped us and said, take on the world. Just kidding. I don't know. They kind of like just pulled us out of the crash and made us something to something creative.
But you know, you also played a part in pulling yourself up.
Absolutely. I mean, we had the choice if we wanted to get out.
Exactly.
And I feel like us just leaving our old self behind was a good plan. Because I feel like in the future, I feel like we're going to have a good future ahead of us now. Because the Beats program, I mean, for me, it helped me a lot. It kind of just basically me, like it said, like basically just told my mind to. Like,
I'm reading a quote here in this article, which says, Serena and Talia said, a big thank you to Mr. Allen for supporting the Beats from start to end. You will be missed dearly. They added, we shine brighter than your head tonight.
this is Mr. Allen right here.
Oh, this was about Mr. Allen.
The principal.
Oh.
who put his money behind the program idea.
Oh.
As you can see right here, his head does shine bright.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Oh, okay. All right. So tell me about Mr. Allen. He was pretty important to this.
Yeah. Mr. Allen is so grumpy sometimes.
Maybe Mr. Allen needs to go through the Beats program.
I don't think he would disagree with that.
Mr. Allen was fun, yeah.
Actually, with Mr. Allen never, wanted to support the Beats program,
You wouldn't have had it if he hadn't.
We probably wouldn't be here right now.
Okay.
We'd probably actually be in Manassas, sitting with the boys. Still.
Right, okay.
Because, I mean, when we first got here, we weren't these people today. And I feel like the Beats program has done a lot for us. I feel like everybody in the Beats program has done a lot for us.
Like, even the kids that didn't show up to the Beats program that still participated, like, I know Keandra, like, the Beats program helped Keandra. She's going to school at Comp right now. She's the shyest girl I know, but she's going to school at Comp. That's the biggest school in North Battleford.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
What's the biggest lesson Alan has taught you through this whole thing?
Recognize, improvise, adapt, and thrive. Because, I mean, right now, we're just kind of, when we first started the Beats program, we basically just recognized, and then we started improvising, and we're just, adapting now, and we're just ready to thrive.
Do you think you could really be thrown into any situation now and learn how to work with it?
I think me and her, from the Beats program, we really learned some good leadership skills.
Honestly,
and determination.
when I just came back to Phoenix, I was in a group home, and the Beats program actually did teach me a lot, and it did teach me how to adapt. Because I was last time I was in Phoenix, I lived with my parents. I wasn't in a group home, but I mean, I live with my parents now, and I'm just.
And what do you want to do when you're finished school? What's the next phase of your life? If I were to give you a magic wand and wave it over you and say you can be or do anything you want, what would that be?
I want to be a rap god.
A rap god.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Have my future set ahead.
I think I want to keep going to school, and I want to go to school for a doctor or something. Someone who finds bones, an archaeologist, someone like that.
Mm-hmm. I have my heart set on being a photographer / journalist right now.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's a pretty cool profession.
Just kidding. I don't really tell nobody that, but except
you just did. You're telling people a lot of things you don't normally tell people.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know, don't know a lot about me until I actually decide to open up.
Uh-huh.
But when I do, I just kind of contain some real deep emotional things.
I can see that.
It's good.
I can see that.
Actually, me and Talia yesterday after
conversation.
And Zelda were done talking to us. So we went back to my house. We were talking. And, the Beach program did teach us a lot of things. And it taught us how to, step out of our comfort zone. And we were thinking about
becoming partners on YouTube.
Yeah, that would be so cool because we're funny together.
Feel like we can make something out of that. I feel like we can make something out of our lives now after the Beats program, because before it, I had a lot of doubt in myself, and I never really saw my adult years. But now I can just I want to strive towards that. Mm-hmm. I want to be successful now. I want a good future. And, even though I still have doubts in myself, they're not as bad as before.
And everybody does.
Yeah.
You should start podcasting. You should start. That's a great stepping stone to being a journalist, is starting to create your own podcast. You know that this experience is going to stay with you forever, right? We all have memories that we look back on. I don't mean today. I mean the Beats program. This is
your about today, though.
Oh, today. Well, great. If today stays with you, great. But I mean, overall, these experiences will stay with you forever.
I feel like the Beats program just basically taught us that, even though you have doubts in yourself, you can still push forward.
This whole conversation started, you asking us how important Al was. This whole interview, we've been telling you how much the Beats program helped us and how much it's like showing us like a brighter like passage and like, you know, like, and it's because of Al we see that. It's because of him.
He's the one who created the Beats program.
Yeah, and if it wasn't
for him, he has a lot to do with this.
If it wasn't for him, I don't think we'd be where we are right now. Cry. Just kidding.
There's a tissue right there.
You are... as she hands Alan a Kleenex.
I'd like to say something about Alan, too, because I think from the beginning when this program first came up and we first started talking about it, he was the one with the vision of what it was going to come. And each year he has a vision as to what he's hoping it will produce in the end. And all of the spaces in between, he's kind of got them stepped out as to, you know, the little points we're going to meet along the way. But he is the one who has the focus and the energy to drive us to the end. And even though we might take a path that gets pretty crazy, he makes sure that we get there. So he really has some mad organizational and editing skills to get it all going. And truly, he's the driving force. So yeah, I hear what you guys are saying. It's very important to have a good leader like that. And he is flexible enough to allow it to happen.
You guys blow me away. I feel so lucky to have had the chance to meet you and talk to you. I look at you and wish that I had had this when I was your age. And I'm sitting here envious of you for the experience that you've had and in awe of you that you are so put together and so articulate and so driven and that you actually care. I mean, you actually care.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
You know, before this, like, okay, I don't really, like, talk about God a lot, but I feel like God, like, blessed us with the privilege of doing the Beats program, because I feel like the Beats program has a lot to do with what we're doing now today. Because, I mean, I think, like, I don't mean to sound, like, weird, but I feel like God, like, put us in the Beats program for a reason.
In Phoenix for a reason.
I think when I first came to school here, I didn't want to go here and I didn't see the reason behind it. But now that I feel like, now that I'm out of here, I feel like Phoenix was a good place for me to be because it taught me a lot of things and it taught me a lot.
What would you say to kids who don't have this program, who just somehow are dying to crack out of their shell and have no idea, that are listening somewhere in the world, that are listening to this? That are terrified to be honest and genuine and real.
Everyone was terrified at first.
Everyone was terrified?
I was terrified at first. I didn't even want to step out the classroom at first. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to come to this room at first.
And like, is it okay to make...
I had, like, the biggest, like, issues with, like, being shy and, like, depression and all that. Like, honestly, I think, like, the Beats program and, like, the school... this helped us a lot. And I feel like people, like, if you don't have this program, you don't, like, need the program. Like Alan said, you just, like, need the right people.
Uh-huh. You need the right people.
Yeah. Like, even
you need the right people in your life.
It's the best feeling when you can do whatever you want. You don't care what people think of
it. It's the best feeling when you accomplish something. Yeah. When it becomes something that's getting known out in the world. I mean, we come from a small town, mm-hmm. in, like, Saskatchewan. Like, when I was younger, I never really thought that this would happen. I never really thought we'd have an interview about the Beats program. Because I never, when we first started the Beats program, I never think it would become something big. But I feel like it's just going to become more bigger someday.
I believe it will. I do. So be brave is your advice. Be brave and just go for it.
Just go for it.
If you guys can.
Take it on. Just mm-hmm. jump into it.
Forget all your fears and just,
like,
jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's not scary once you're not scared.
Mm-hmm. If that makes
sense. It's not scary once you're not scared. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying, but
yeah, it's scary until it's not.
Yeah, like you're scared. You have to step out of that scared zone, and you have to think, okay, what could happen out of this if I'm not scared? What could happen if I don't care what other people think? You know, a lot of things could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like we didn't care what other people think. Now look at where were we? Here. Mm-hmm.
Just like Al said, like, sometimes having, like, a comfort zone isn't, like, the same as having, like, a happy, healthy, like, life. Because if you're going to be shy all your life, like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't be shy all your life. You got to, like, at some point in your life, you have to, like, just get out of that zone and become something more than that.
And, like, we're not trying to say, like, use drugs and alcohol to get out of that zone. I mean, like, find something you really enjoy to do and, you know, show more people about it. Like, get out of your comfort zone and show people what this is this. And, like, you know, because
we basically just came from, like, whoever's listening to this right now, like, we basically just came from where you guys, like, are. In
yeah. Thing.
We were in that position and, like, we knew how y'all felt.
Like, honestly, before, like, I don't think we would have talked to someone about it. Or, like, I don't think we would have went up into, like, a bunch of people. Like,
I would have never done that.
Yeah. And, like, honestly, it's good to have a backbone. I think Talia is my backbone.
Hmm.
I tell her a lot of things.
You're my front bone.
Aww.
Such beautifulness.
Thank you both. Thank you, all of you. But thank you both for just being brilliant and continue to be brilliant. Be brilliant-er and brilliant-er. You're very, very, very lucky. Holly, thank you so much for being part of this experience for these girls and for teaching them that you can make something out of nothing.
Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity and the opportunity of meeting all these great people too.
And Alan, it's no small wonder that you received an award of achievement from the Saskatchewan Association of Social Workers.
Oh, how'd you know that?
I do my research.
You did?
Make a note, Talia. That's what you do when you're journalist. And he's very humble, and there's even a gift that comes with that award, and he donated it. That's how humble this guy is. Really? He gave his gift away.
What was your gift?
It was, well, we'll keep that privately, but it was donated. And so it's no wonder that you were recognized for that achievement, because it takes a very special person to care enough to take a practice that sometimes it just exists within four walls in a room and one-on-one and create magic for these people. So good for you. And here's hoping that this inspires more programs year after year here, and that there become BEATS programs all throughout the province to give. Let's hope that you're spearheading something even bigger than you can imagine right now.
Oh my gosh.
I hope so.
I'm going to need this team, because I'll run out of energy for sure.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, yes. Yeah.
We could be like just another owl.
You guys could be another owl.
There you go.
Like, we could run, like, some of those BEATS programs across the province.
Okay, are we signing contracts right now? Okay, all right. I'm good with this.
We'll have
thank you.
Start something big.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. The Sascapes podcast is created and hosted by Kevin Power for Sask Culture. Funding to the cultural sector is provided through the Saskatchewan Lottery's Trust Fund for Sport, Culture, and Recreation. For more information, visit iheartculture.ca and saskculture.ca. You can follow us on Twitter at Sascapes and at Kevin Power Live. Music for Sascapes is provided by Saskatchewan-born singer-songwriter Jeffrey Straker. These are our stories, Saskatchewan, and they have no end. So tell me, what's yours?